Yeah, I'm not sure whether I'll be unreasonable to say, what is the uncertainty? Which are the areas that define the uncertainty? Uncertainty. If it is not a view, if it is not a view, what would inform anybody to say there is uncertainty on this particular matter? And but let us have a discussion after you have actually finalized that, because to me it creates a problem. Like as we have really tried to explain before, that whatever change brings uncertainty or risk, but not real, perceived, or a view. And in many instances, things that are actually seen as risky, they end up proved to be different. And things that we sometimes think that no, this is fine, that there is no problem, all of that, thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up, all of them. 6 months down the line, all of them, then they start now saying, no, this thing is not going well. You understand? So I think the main question that we may need to deal with is just this argument of uncertainty. Where does it arise? Does it arise because we are used to do this? Now, if it is going to be done by this one, then we are not sure that it's going to do it best like us. Or it is not going to be done, or it is threatening 1, 2, 3. And then views and perceptions, they'll always exist. But I mean, it's at the end of the day, we must be able to say, this is the point that we are saying is risky. Here it is uncertain. But that's what I was saying, that because we are dealing with experts from Treasury or SARS and Home Affairs, then they can isolate that uncertainty and provide properly for it in the bill, and provide for it properly. Because you know that you are going to jump Orange River, and then it is 45 meters wide. Then you can provide that when we get there, this is what we are going to do. Then we can't behave as if we don't know. And then we say, no, we don't know the Orange River, how we're going to jump it. But whereas you know that it's 45 meters wide, how deep it is, what sort of a boat you need to cross, you should be able to provide. And then deal with that uncertainty of the how part that we're going to call. So that's why I'm just calling upon that let us not have an endless discussion. The 80% that you are really claiming victory on, it is fine. But remember that this about this agency, it is as old as from 2009. Today is roughly 7 years down the line. And when the president announced this in the State of the Nation Address in 2009 or so, both DGs have participated in getting to that particular line in the speech of the president. From Treasury, the SARS commissioner at the time, as well as the DG in Home Affairs, they were there. They've assisted in putting together the speech of the president and the content. And we expect that after that, we have processed the content of the speech, the State of the Nation Address. Today, we are still 80%, 7 years down the line. That's all what we are saying. Then the question is, are we serious about the security of the country and the porousness of the borders, wherever the borders still exist? Are we serious about that? And then the citizens of South Africa expect performance, because ordinarily, the problem we have at the border, it is impacting on social issues, economic issues, and you name it in this country. probably some other people have been estimating that probably we've got about 2 million people that are undocumented in the country, and they are living with us every day. Every day. Not documented, not belonging here, but we are living with them. Then they are drawing benefits from the fiscals of this country, from all services that are being given in the country. And then we need to be saying that let's deal with that ports of entry and the borderline decisively.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think if I were in this situation, I would have asked for a risk analysis from the audit committee and perhaps the auditor general and an organizational structure of the BMA as we perceive it and as it is perceived by the Department of Home Affairs and see where perhaps the problem exactly is. Is it the payment of staff doing the same jobs under different departments, or is it not understanding things like valorem, yes, imports, because you find that a bottle of whiskey is this amount attached if it is coming from this place, and then a shirt coming from China, this amount, which is different from a shed coming from Zimbabwe and so forth. Is that the type of complexity we are talking about? And then if so, perhaps what is then the recommended management tool that you propose? And I think we need an independent analysis, risk assessment analysis. And from the Auditor General and perhaps the auditors that can deliver the service and look at that. It should then include the organizational structure, because we cannot talk about this thing in isolation of the organizational structure. Is the commissioner and this, that, and that, and then is this independent, and then monitoring only the area where goods are coming in, and then you've got to collect. And then if we talk about that independence, how then is cooperation going to take place? And I think the members of parliament also would benefit if they could visit an environment where these things are happening, say a port of entry, and how these things are recorded and how they are determined, because it's not only the same percentage, but for poultry from America, the certain amount that is added, for pork from this place, for lamb from this place, they all have different distinct values, percentages. And if that is the complexity, there should be a way of mitigating that complexity and managing it. But now, is it ideally managed if it is going to be via customs, or it is ideally managed if it is going to be via the BMA? I think that type of risk assessment and analysis would assist. Thank you.
Yeah, it's Honorable Shob, I hope that you want to propose closure.
Yes. Yes, Chair, just read my mind. I want to propose closure, but I just want to emphasize on what Honorable Gumede was saying. But I'm not on the very same point about risk analysis, what. I mean, I still believe if the DG and the Department of Finance or Treasurer or SARF, if they can have enough time to sit down, not this rush, they'll find a common ground amongst themselves. Because the DG was telling us that they have met even this morning. And you proposed, Chair, as well, on your side, which they must conclude this thing in 3 days. For me, it's a problem. It will create some problems. They need time. because the bone of contention is between these two, is finance and them. Ukosatu has fallen. I'm not saying Ukosatu must fall, but according to the DG, Ukosatu arguments and views have fallen. Now it's between Treasurer and the Department of Home Affairs, of which Nami as a committee member, I really want to know, Buti, how do you conclude in this matter before we pass the bill? On the same token, DG, I just want to get a clarity from you as well when you're engaging with neighboring countries. I did ask this question last time when the minister was here. He did provide some specific answers, but now, kunama bilateral commissions agreement with Botswana and other neighboring countries. So now, with this bill that is coming forth, what will be the status? I can hear your examples that you're making with the chair, of which Mena, I won't agree with those examples. If an African child is being taken care by an African state, I'll be very happy. But I just want to know, what is the status quo now? What will be the status quo? But please, did you get time with the treasurer and SARS and iron out those things? And be very clear. So Nat, as a committee, will be very happy to know.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm sure you would understand my agitation, why I actually need them to actually, because from last week, they did not meet. Then they meet this morning. That's what we are getting, that they have met this morning. You see, unless if there is any other clarity, but what I understood was that they have met this morning. You see, and then that's why now I believe that there is some sort of a delaying tactic that is unreasonable, and then it is bringing an undue delay in our process, and then because we are going on a recess, honorable members, there is nothing that stops them that they can have an extra 2 weeks or so, 14 days or so. But then they must finalize this thing. They must finalize this thing. Because they are very clear on the things to be dealt with. There is no ambiguity on the things that must be dealt with. The problem is that we just simply to say, I can't have all what I wanted, I agree with what I get. Then the other one says as well, I can't have all what I wanted, then I agree with what is common among ourselves, then let's get this thing going. But I still repeat, let's remove negative views and perceptions. Because if they continue in our heads, then they will actually remove objectivity and rational thinking. Yes. DG.
No, thanks, Chair. Chair, I think I must clear this matter on the basis that Home Affairs has not taken a decision that customs must move to PMA. I think that point is important. It's the cabinet which takes a decision to say customs must move to PMA. And Chair, you started rightly. This issue is from 2009. We didn't meet with Treasury last week. Chair, the departments which are involved in this, it's not only two departments, it's Treasury and Home Affairs. Defense was the same. Health was the same. Agriculture, all these departments have been in the constant implementation of this. The issue, which is what Chair, you have said, if now, remember what Momo is saying, that report, we leave it for you. It says they are saying this thing must not move into custom. But when I was listening to you, you said a report which is written by whoever does not change the decision of the committee. It's the committee which will look at it and then decide on what is the policy of the state. I am not here. Home Affairs never managed customs before. I am not here to say I want customs, I want to manage it. And what that thing is established, Chair, has got nothing to do with Home Affairs as a department. It will be an entity which will be reporting to a minister of Home Affairs. So the issue, Chair, where we're sitting is that the cabinet said, which is decision taken in 2009. We can bring those there. It says border management agents will be responsible for customs, borderline, all those things are there. That's what now we're trying to implement, as you said. But now where we were now was to say, what is the interpretation? But that report, it says now, as I was listening to it, it says BMA must be separate from customs. So are we saying now it means now that decision of the cabinet, I must go in and change it and say, no, I'm changing the cabinet decision now. Customs must not be part of the, because the TC report says so. But where I am is to say, this is what we are having to implement. And check this bill, which is sitting in front of Parliament now, were not approved by Home Affairs, was approved by Cabinet with those things. But now when we're meeting on this issue now to say, how do you separate this? That's all what we're engaging in. That's why, Chair, would we have been meeting. So I don't think, if now, as you are saying, want to take a decision on the matter, that within 3 days, we should not be able to finalize. And if, Chair, we can't, as you said, then it means now the Parliament must take a decision and say, here is a decision of the Cabinet, this is what you are saying. And I've said that to the colleagues and say, Chair, on this matter, is either a decision is taken that customs must remain at SARS as a whole if we are changing the decision of the Cabinet. Or it can say the customs, if it can't be split, must move all of it to BMA. So what I'm saying is that we can't be going like this and this. That's why I'm saying, Chair, 3 days if we have to take that decision. That's why this morning, Tina, we're coming to say we're going to meet. And Chair, that's why I'm saying, not the only department. We had issues with defense. We said we found the solution. We had issues with police. Yeah. And then that issue, what was it, 19th of August when we're here. But now that issue has been resolved. So why this one, Chair, we're not able to resolve it? Is that I'm saying, if now we can't, for me, I'm coming here with what has been sanctioned by the Cabinet. I'm in the meeting with the National Treasurer. If Chair says within 3 days it must be done, but what I wanted to make sure is that it's not that we are not meeting on the matter. We are. But the issue is to say, you know, let's take the decision within 3 days. And that's why I was happy that Momo now comes back. And we go to our principals and say, the Parliament says, if this decision is not taken, then they are capable to take a decision on the matter. And then, Chair, so 3 days to me is not far for us to go and get that decision, whatever it is. Oh, so let me respond now on the question of the bilateral. Chair, as we are saying, BMA is an implementing agency. It will never go and sign a bilateral agreement with country A or country B. Let's talk about trade. If now DTI would be responsible to go and discuss trade with any country, the only thing which will be coming from that country is the goods. The goods. So when the goods now cross the border, the goods cross on the basis of agreement between the two countries, like the chicken we are talking about, if that chicken says, well, this chicken is coming from US, it does not carry any exercise duty or whatever, it's not the responsibility of BMA and say, no, but the chicken coming from that one has got this, why don't you do it? That's why I said that policy decision will still be remaining with SARS if they have to come up with what levels. And Chair, we're also saying, which is in this report of cards here, which says now, I'm just read one page. It says now the Constitution does not prescribe to Parliament where to locate its taxing authority. Inasmuch as the decision of the legislature to establish SARS was a policy decision, so too is the decision to devolve its powers and assign them to a newly established entity such as BMA. The Davis Tax Commission also concluded that the bill's delegation of powers from commissioner from SARS to the BMA is not in conflict with the Constitution. It says nowhere in the Constitution it is required that once tax collection function is located within a particular entity, its location may never be changed. Its location may be changed, but this is subject to the Constitution. In our opinion, it is therefore constitutionally permissible to devolve key revenue powers from SARS to BMA. Also, Chair, we are saying, as good as in Home Affairs, no employees were born in Home Affairs to deal with the Home Affairs issues. They get trained, they get to do the work and all that. So we can't say we can't do something because if it goes to another department, it will collapse. But the risk assessment which is talking about is what we're saying we'll be doing. I don't believe that we can sit as a state and just go and destroy something. The tax which must be collected is needed for the economy of this country. Why it can be seen is only one department which can be able to do that. It can't be collected. The skills which we need in this country, that if I'm run by Basna in Home Affairs, what will happen? Will collapse tomorrow. There'll be another DG which will be appointed, maybe do better than what I'm doing. So that's what I'm saying, get Chair. These are the reports we have. So what we need here is to say, is this the decision of the cabinet or not? If it is, then we have to implement it. But now we don't want to do that in an illegal way. That's why we've got state law advisors and then to look whether is there anything in law which says we can't do that. Then in the implementation, make sure that we get people trained. That's why it says even Chair, staff will be moved. That report says now if another has refused, but Chair, if I refuse to be transferred, it doesn't mean that you can't get that scale. So the Chair, what I'm saying, that for me, I still believe that 3 days is enough, that will come to, more special now with this proviso now which says, if we don't agree, Parliament will take a decision. Maybe the decision which will be taken is not what maybe I'm sticking to it or what Treasury is sticking to it. It's what would be good for this country. Thanks.
Yeah, the possibility. Yeah, I think maybe it's, Mamo can also respond to that. Is that, like as I've said before, it's, the report of the Davis Commission, and then it is something that informs us. We still have to process it. Process it. That's why I asked him, is what is the position of Treasury on that particular report? He said, no, they agree with it. It's fine. They agree with it. It's fine. But what is the impact of that that you are agreeing with within your area of work, when it actually contradicts some other policy positions or protocols in government? What then is your view on those specific things? Because somebody may say, no. You may shoot that person, but then you know that shooting a person is outlawed. How do you then deal with that kind of instruction? So it's, the Davis Commission or whatever may have done their work and then informing us, it is fine, but we have to look that and mirror on our policies. Where it supplements and supports our policies is fine, but where it contradicts, what is our position? Because now, like as the DG is saying, a cabinet decision is there to establish the BMA, and it assigns the function of customs to the BMA. Then you receive a report from the Davis Commission says, no, you can't do it. How then did you handle those particular matters? And then it becomes a problem. But like as I've said, is that you go and meet within those 3 days or whatever, but we are going to come together, I'm sure, in the next 14 days in October, because we'll be going to recess. I think we'll be meeting in that particular week. But myself, there's nothing that stops me from keeping contact with the DG and the Treasury to really get whether they are making progress. We're not gonna check on that date in October. No. Because what must be understood is that we are allowing political parties to go and talk to themselves on what they have heard here and all this presentation. So that when we come back, then we go clause by clause. We must not have a situation that when we come back, then we are getting new things. Because then it will be frustrating. Once we get a report that of what we have agreed upon in the next, just after the next 3 days, then we forward to members to their computer systems to actually enhance their discussions within their own parties to be able to take positions. So we're really not going to be taking long. Like as I've said, is that if it proves difficult, then we may find ourselves resorting to our fellow members being the ministers of this department, and then really summoning them to come here and then to come and really finalize the thing and say, this is the position. You say that we do it on your behalf now, or what's the story? Because we can't really idle around one thing like that, as we say, for 7 years, and even today, we still can't make the last mile of it. Harmonia.
I think just to point out that in making the decision, there is a concern that Cabinet asked us to look at is the unintended consequences of preventing customs from SARS. So it is a project that we've been asked to look at, and in a sense the input from the Davis Tax Committee and so on make a contribution towards that. And can I say, Chair, this is a huge risk here. We've got to balance obviously security, but is security a problem with containers and cargo traffic? There's issues of accompanied luggage. I'm saying, and I think the honourable member suggested a risk analysis. We would welcome that, because I think that those are the critical issues that we do need to be satisfied that it's not a matter of just moving it from here to there and it works well. There's a value chain in goods. A lot of work is done from the back office. Goods are declared from wherever they come from. So, there's a lot of complexity there. Just, I think, as with defense, Chair, if we wanted an agreement, if we had a similar clause like with defense in clause 4, we'll have agreement now, today. But obviously, to get an agreement, it requires agreement on all sides. To the extent that that clause is not going to bring agreement, then you start unpacking what's the revenue function, how much does it deal with goods, and so on. We'd be happy to make a detailed presentation on that if that's what the committee wants. But Chair, so I think we are striving to meet the cabinet commitment of not, and the question you had asked, this is causing uncertainty in a sense that there's a customs modernization, which is a major project costing billions of rands. There's a new Customs Act. All of these provisions somehow be bringing risk, which we just, because in a framework bill, it doesn't say this will have happened precisely with SARS. We would want those to be spelled out in detail. And the option given to defense, as in clause 4, is one option. Then we'd have agreement immediately. So we are engaging, Chair. And I think some of these are healthy issues to engage on, because I think we're all trying to act in a national interest and to, on the one hand, also in dealing with security, not compromise the revenue function and not bring in new risks related to container traffic and to the economy. So I think those are the broad issues we're talking about. And we would contend that the security issues related to movement of people is different from the security issues related to the movement of goods through our border posts. So I think that there are deep and underlying issues, and I would say that we probably need more than 3 days. I would say we need a week at least, Chair, to try and complete our process. I think we've had a constructive engagement, and we are getting somewhere. It's a hard negotiation, yes, because these are difficult issues.
Yeah. Look, DG, 3 days or 5 days to me doesn't make a big difference. The 5 days. It's fine. It's no problem. Finalize. But, like, as I'm saying, is that let's remove perceptions and negative views that seeks to say that only a certain breed of people can do certain things others can't do, or that certain people are untrainable. It is only a certain group that comes from somewhere else that are trainable to do X, Y, Z. I think we just need to remove that. Like, as I'm saying, just bring objectivity in our minds and rationality. It is one state that we are trying to serve, and this state is trying to service all citizens of the Republic. All of us, we are capable of doing anything if we are put in the particular position with the requisite training and the tools of trade. Able to do it. All of us. And therefore, let us just bring objectivity and rationality in the discussions. And then suspicions, perceptions, negative views are not going to assist us. But at the back of our minds is that we are implementing the decisions that have been taken long ago by the authorized authority. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And this meeting is adjourned.
Thanks. Hi.